Good morning and welcome to Manna on Monday. I'm Pastor Ron, and so thank you for joining me. Today we're going to continue in Proverbs chapter 23. And maybe you joined us last week as we started Proverbs chapter 23, but the Lord is speaking candidly, frequently using words like do not, or let not, or hear my son, or listen to your father. I think that was a great one. And one of my favorites is apply. Take the information I'm giving to you and apply. In fact, in this chapter, the Lord gives instruction, the instruction, do not, seven times in the first 13 verses. So it seems like that might be a section of scripture that we would want to make sure to know and to meditate on and to embrace for our lives, because it possesses some great counsel. So before we jump in, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the gift of being able to teach your word. And so lead us in our time together today, that you would fill us with wisdom and understanding, shaping into us things that we need to pay attention to because of the vulnerability that we have in life, Lord. And so we trust that you're the one who is able to save us and provide for us. So we ask you now to bless our time. In your name we pray. Amen. So Proverbs chapter 23, verse 1, I'll just repeat it. It says, when you sit down to eat with a ruler, observe carefully what is before you. So we acknowledge that the invitation comes from a ruler. And of course, a ruler can be a number of things. A ruler can be a person of great authority and influence. But this ruler can also be something that has great control. For example, like in today's society, one of those things is fame. Fame is a big deal today because of social media like YouTube and Facebook and TikTok, you know, where people, they want to be known and they want to get followers. Enticing ruler is the prospect of instant wealth. It just lures us in with either gambling, playing the lottery, I'm going to win this time, or getting sucked into get rich quick schemes, pyramid schemes, scams, all kinds of things. And then, of course, there's the old rulers that have been around for a long, long time. What I refer to as the old standbys, but they're not standbys. They're very deadly. Drugs, alcohol, porn, gossiping. And today we have cheap, constant entertainment. So let's go on to verse 2 and see what the Lord says about why we should observe carefully what is before us. It says, and put a knife to your throat if you are given to appetite. Whoa! So we need to pause and think before your life has a ruler that may be appealing, seem appealing to begin with, but is actually deceiving, that could cost you your life. Verse 3, do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Verse 4, and do not toil to acquire wealth, be discerning enough to desist. Verses 3 and 4, they warn us that these rulers will demand work for more. Their cry is constantly more, demanding you never stop feeding or providing for the ruler. It's deceptive, saying things like, oh, you're wiser than all others. They're the problem. You don't have problems. As long as you follow what I say, only I am able to make you wealthy or prosperous in life. And that reminds me, honestly, of meth, the addiction of meth in a person's life. As the documentary says, the high is a lie. It's a destructive life choice to chase after that first euphoria high, only never to accomplish that again, because the brain is burnt and it's redirected. And so what does it do? It's consuming from the inside out. The mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit, it's taking your life. Never take it in the first place, is the wise counsel. Verse 5, when your eyes light on it, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. The ruler will desert you just as fast as it lied to you in the first place. And while it is deserting you, it is saying, oh, this isn't my fault. This is your problem, not mine. Verses 6 through 8. Do not eat the bread of a man who is stingy. Do not desire his delicacies, for he is like the one who is inwardly calculating. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the morsels that you have eaten and waste your pleasant word. Wow. You know, as I read these verses, what comes to mind is the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Well, many of us have seen that, but it's the scene in particular where Jimmy Stewart, who is George Bailey, he goes to Mr. Potter's office. Potter's called him in to his office, and Potter's got a scheme. Potter's got a plan, and Potter, and this is what happens. Potter first, he welcomes him in, and he gives George a Cuban cigar, big old honking Cuban cigar, and then he has him sit down in front of him. Well, the chair is so much lower than Potter. Potter's sitting up here, George Bailey's sitting way down here, you know, and of course, what is that? That's the imagery that is just so rich, and it's exceptional in this movie. Man, it's telling a story in the story if you're paying attention. But George asks, so what's your point? You know, it's like you and I don't get along. Why do you have me here? And Potter says, well, I want to hire you. I want to hire you to manage my affairs, and I'm going to start you at $20,000 a year. Well, in the early 1940s, that's a huge amount of money. And then the enticement comes, and he looks at George with this smile and friendly, you know, and he says, you wouldn't mind living in the nicest house in town, would you? You wouldn't mind going to New York for a couple of business trips or maybe even Europe, you know, enticement. Then he says, you wouldn't mind that, would you, George? And, you know, just baiting him, you know, saying, getting his focus off of what it ought to be. But George, unbelieving what he's hearing, looks around. Such a classic movie. Looks around, he says, you're not talking to somebody else, are you? And he's like, this is me, George Bailey. Remember, we don't get along with each other. And Potter says, that's right. George Bailey, whose ship has just come in, and provided he has enough brains to come aboard. There he is, condescending again. Are you paying attention, George? So George says, holy mackerel. He pauses and then he says, well, how about the building and loan? And we know that that's a sore spot for Potter. And Potter goes quick to anger. Man, it's like, are you paying attention there? And he says, confound it, man. Are you afraid of success? I'm offering you a 3-year contract at $20,000 starting today. Is it a deal or isn't it? You know, and George goes, whoa, and George does the right thing here. He pauses to think and he says, well, maintaining respect for Potter, which Potter really never does for George, he says, Mr. Potter, I know I should jump at the chance right now, but I was wondering if it would be possible to give me 24 hours to think it over. So Potter is hearing something that he's liking. So now he goes, oh, now he's back to being nice again. He goes, sure, go home and talk with your wife. He even condescends him for being married. And George says, okay, Mr. Potty. Then the handshake happens. Oh, the creepy handshake. Such a classic part in this movie where George finishes the handshake and he's going like this and he's kind of beginning to rethink things and he says, no, now wait a minute here. I don't need 24 hours. I don't need to talk to anybody. The answer is no. Then George swears. This is George swearing. Doggone it, he says. And then he talks to Potter and he says, you just sit around here and think the world revolves around you and your money. Well, in the whole scheme of things, you're nothing but a scurvy little spider. You know, and I don't think people would communicate like that today. I think it's classic. But there are huge parallels that we can learn from that are illustrating this passage here in Proverbs chapter 23, because we can easily get blindsided and tracked and be sidetracked by rulers, if you will. Let me reread 6 and 7. It says, do not eat the bread of a man who is stingy, and do not desire his delicacies, for he is like one who is inwardly calculating. eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. So remember, the next time you're facing deception or enticement, one, observe carefully. Ask yourself, what's really going on here? Two, don't desire. Don't be persuaded. Don't make an emotional decision. Three, do not toil. Meaning, ask yourself, what's my true labor expense going to be in this? Four, do not eat. Ask, will I become like this person? Four or five. And so if you ignore the counsel, God's word says, you will vomit. You will be sickened by your decision. So my question for you is what's enticing you today? Does it seem too good to be true? What kind of a lifetime opportunity is it? Might I recommend, seek the word of God for his counsel. James 1:19 says this as we wrap up here today. Be slow to speak, quick to think, for the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. If you're being enticed today, be like George Bailey, who came to his senses and walked away while he still could. Thank you for joining me, and I look forward to seeing you next week. God bless.